Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It is always a sobering thing to read the Bible and to recognize that God used Israel as the axe of his judgment against Canaan. The Israelites had survived 40 years of wilderness wanderings. The question was, would they also survive prosperity in the land of promise? And if so, adherence to the laws of Yahweh would be crucial. Israel, of course, was in transition from the edge to entry into the land of promise. And just over that border, wickedness was reaching its full measure as parents sacrificed their sons and daughters to Moloch. Moloch was a bull-headed deity with a human body and a belly that burned like the horrors of hell. Children as old as 4 were placed in the white-hot arms of that monster. And as the flame would burn the child and surround the body, the limbs would shrivel up, and the mouth would actually appear to grin as if laughing until it shrunk enough to slip into the cauldron. The land of Canaan was at the point of no return, and Israel would be the axe of her judgment. For 400 years, God showed mercy. Now, judgment was on the border. Those who imagine that God was precipitous in his judgment need only think back on the judgment of Sodom. For 10 righteous people, God would have spared that city, but there were none. "Far be it from you," said Abraham, "to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of the earth do right?" So we see God's martial instructions qualified by his moral intentions to spare the repentant. And the author of Hebrews makes that plain when he notes that by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Not only were she and her family spared, she was reckoned as true Israel and came to hold a privileged position in the lineage of Jesus Christ himself. Ironically, today, the loudest protests against God's judgment on the Canaanites come from those who clamor for the right to terminate the lives of the unborn children living in the warmth of their mothers' wombs today, while the very thought causes the faithful to recoil in horror and disbelief. They are no longer located on the border of Canaanite country. We're in the USA. And nor are we governed by the laws of an ancient theocratic kingdom. No, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, says Paul. And how do we do it? Well, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God by being equipped believers, ready always to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. If it is not for you, as salt and light in our nation, the nation will continue to corrupt and corrode. You are called to be that leavening force. But Jesus said, if the salt loses its saltiness, how's it going to be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. All of that to say that you have an opportunity to make a difference while there is yet time. When I ask people to support this ministry, it's not for any other reason than to build the body of Christ, to equip God's body, to give answers and use those answers to reach people with a message. That message doesn't save them in America. It saves them in more than that. It saves them in an eternal sense. It's not just to give us a better, more prosperous country. It's about the country that Abram only saw from afar, a country whose builder and architect is God. I'm talking about the new heaven and the new earth where indwells righteousness. That's our inheritance, and that's why I ask you to be a team member with this ministry, making a difference for time and for eternity. We need you on the team. We need your generous support, for we want to touch ever more lives. You can give on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you pick up the phone and talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. First caller today, Winston, in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Winston.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
It's all scary. Like, I'm going back into believing in Christ. I grew up in a Christian home. I'm an Aboriginal native. Mm-hmm. And as growing up, I got to know my grandma. She's a wonderful woman. And she taught me the native ways, respect and all that. And I guess I just turned my back on God. And I just, because I thought to myself, if God made me a native and gave me this culture, why can't I practice it? And I did with my grandma, and as I grew up, I didn't really understand. I'm going back into belief. The only question I have is my grandma passed away when I was born. She wasn't saved, but she always believed in the native way because, forgive me for saying this, but she just did not, back in the days it was hard for natives, and she did not trust the white man. Does that mean she's going to hell?
Well, what I can say is this, whether your grandmother, you, me, or anyone else, according to the Bible, we all have the light of creation, which is to say, when we look at created things, we know that there is a creator. And we intuitively know that we should worship the creator as opposed to worshiping created things. Furthermore, we have the knowledge of God written upon the canvas of our consciousness, and therefore, no matter where we are, we can receive the light of Christ in any epoch of time and in any place in time. And Paul makes that clear on Mars Hill when he says, from one man God made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact time and places that they should live. God did this so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Therefore, we know that your grandmother will be justly judged. All those who want a relationship with God can have that relationship. It's only those who do not want that relationship with God that will not have it. And remember, it's not the absence of knowledge that damns. It's the despising of knowledge that damns. And therefore, I would be the last to sit in judgment on your grandmother. I don't know. I simply don't know. I know this, that if she responded to the light of creation and the light of conscience,
yeah,
she could be saved through Christ.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate this. And you know, I came across your, like I said, I just got back into believing it, and I thought, I'm not going to run from what I was brought into. And your station just came on by accident. And just as you were answering questions, because I have so many questions, and a lot of questions that I hear on your broadcast, of some same questions I have. And I believe that I was brought to listen to that radio station that one moment. Mm. And I listen to it every fork box.
Well, bless you, Winston. May you grow
Thank
in the
you.
Grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and may he use you as a sharp tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit in touching other people. Remember, you're going to touch people within your sphere of influence that I can't touch. So get equipped, be faithful, be fruitful. God has a plan for your life. I appreciate you calling.
Thank you very much for taking the call.
You got it. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So don't touch that dial.
The Church of Almighty God, also known as Eastern Lightning, is a socially subversive pseudo-Christian cult. It follows a self-proclaimed female Christ whose heretical doctrines incite violence. Denying the Trinity and biblical authority, Eastern Lightning uses psychological intimidation, disrupts families, and has even perpetrated physical assaults. In graphic language, the counterfeit Christ exhorts followers to abandon their families and devote themselves to recruiting new converts, branding those who refuse as worthless. You can read more about the iron rod of this false almighty God in a special print issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right back to our phone callers. Andre is next, listening in Clearwater, Florida. Hi, Andre.
Hi, Hank. It is a pleasure to speak with you, sir.
Likewise.
My question is in regards to the ESV translation of the Bible, and if you could just share your opinion in general on the reliability.
Yeah, I think it is a good translation of the Bible, the English Standard Version. It emphasizes word-for-word accuracy. Literarily speaking, it's quite good. It's very trustworthy. It's accurate. It's understandable. So I think it's a wonderful translation.
Okay. Thank you very much. That answers it.
Yeah. And let me say for everybody listening in that the King James Version of the Bible would likely have remained preeminent among English Bible translations if it were not for three factors. The first was the evolution of language. Language changes over time. And therefore, there are words that you hear in Elizabethan English that make no sense today. For example, prevent, meant to go before or precede. Leasing, meant falsehood. We wouldn't understand those things today unless the newer translations rendered them in the denotative meaning of today's English language. The second is the progress in our knowledge and understanding of original biblical languages. Because of archaeological discoveries, there are more accurate renderings of Hebrew into the receptor language, the English language. And then the third thing was the discovery of earlier and better manuscripts, and those kinds of manuscripts demonstrate conclusively that certain inclusions in the King James Version were unwarranted, including the comma Johannium in 1 John 5:7. It's manifestly true, but it wasn't part of the autographa. So those factors that have caused a plethora of new translations to come out, some thought for thought, dynamic equivalencies, some word for word, formal equivalencies, but all good translations, all reliable. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Henry listening in Peace River, Alberta. Hi, Henry.
Hey. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a question about the book of Job, where Satan and the children of God are presenting themselves before the Lord, and God is asking Satan, have you considered my servant Job? I'm struggling to understand what God means with that, or why does he ask him that?
Well, I mean, you have in Scripture a heavenly condescension, which is to say that there are a lot of things you read in Scripture there so we get the point. When God asks Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, where are you? It doesn't mean that God suddenly lost his omniscience and didn't know where they were. It's a way of communicating that Adam and Eve had hidden from the presence of God. And so in the storyline of Job, the same thing is going on. It's a heavenly condescension to tell the story of a real man who was going to be afflicted by Satan and yet maintain his integrity in trusting God and serving him forever. So within that story, there are heavenly condescensions, so we get the story. God uses physical realities to communicate metaphysical realities, spiritual realities, things that happen in the heavenlies, and he uses heavenly condescension, language that we can grasp in order to communicate the narrative.
Okay. And also, I've been told that these things happen to Job because of his fear. Is that true?
No. Job is called the most righteous, and he is blameless. So it's not because of his fear. It is to demonstrate his trust in God. Now, Job does make some mistakes. I mean, he's a human being, and one of the things you see towards the end of Job is that Job wants to understand why he's suffering. And of course, the Bible never answers the why question. What it does is teaches us to trust God in the midst of our whys. And so you have God thunder back through the storm and say to Job, you don't even know how to create a small drop of dew, much less can you understand what is going on in the heavenlies. Trying to explain me to you is like trying to explain Einstein to a small neck clam. You wouldn't get it. So we have to learn to trust God in the midst of our whys. God doesn't always explain the why. That'll unfold in eternity.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Hank.
Hey, you got it. I appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Chad listening in Salem, Virginia. Hi, Chad.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, I had a question. As a Christian, how am I to use discernment as far as judging? For instance, I'm a truck driver. You know, I drive 18-wheeler. And I notice of lately, you know, a lot of people just drive really erratic around me. People cut me off for no reason. So my question is, how do I use discernment? Should I assume the people that do that, they are not Christians, and I should pray for them, you know, and continue to witness to them?
Well, I think you want to pray for others and witness to them. I mean, the whole idea of judging and discernment is a very important thing. You have to use discernment. You have to use proper judgments. And you want to be continually a witness for the Lord. I don't know that you can tell by erratic driving whether someone is a believer or not a believer. That may go beyond my discernment capabilities. But I do think there's an important point to be learned in terms of judgment. We are called to judge. But when we judge, we are to judge by a right standard. Jesus said, stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. Of course, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount also points out that there are people who judge hypocritically and self-righteously. That's not how we are to judge. We're not to be self-righteous. We're not to be hypocritical. But when we judge, we have to make a proper judgment and judge by a right standard. And the Bible gives us that standard.
Right. And a scripture comes to my mind when Jesus says, you know, no good tree can bear bad fruit, and no bad tree can bear good fruit. So, you know, when people drive erratic, obviously they don't care about their lives that much, and they don't care about my life. So, you know, isn't it safe to say that they're really not a Christian?
Well, we live in a fallen world, and even Christians do bad things.
Yeah, but, you know, 1 Corinthians 5:17, you know, for whoever is in Christ is a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We're a new creation in Christ, but we're still sinners. I mean, if you want to see an example of that, go to Romans, Romans chapter 7, and read about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is an exemplar to us, and yet he says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. So even Paul recognizes that he's a sinner saved by grace.
Right. But see, from my own testimony, before I was a Christian, I really didn't care about people that much. But now that I've been saved by the grace of God, you know, I practice righteousness. I mean, not that I'm perfect, you know, and I mess up on a daily basis, but I have a desire in my heart to want to do what's right and to treat people with respect and be kind and courteous. So there is a change.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, in fact, you're being daily conformed to the image of Christ. You're becoming more and more Christ-like. But it is a progression. So you might have seen the bumper sticker while you're driving your truck, be patient with me, God's not done with me yet.
Right. Under construction.
Yeah, under construction. That's right.
Thank you, Hank.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate everybody that calls into the Bible Answer Man broadcast with their question. We're answering questions so that you can use answers as springboards or opportunities for sharing the grace and truth and love that only the resurrected Christ can bring to the human heart. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Kay in Tennessee. Hi, Kay.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am good. I'm good. Thank you so much for taking my call tonight.
My pleasure.
I am calling just to ask a question about older women dating younger men. I am actually dating someone that is a little bit younger than me by 4 years, and I've actually been reading the Old Testament, trying to actually read through the Bible, and I've read a few stories. Not purposely, but just, you know, just reading through. And I've stumbled up on many cases where the husband, actually every single case that I've read, the husband is actually older than the woman. And the only example that I've seen where there was a possibility that a marriage is going to take place where the woman was older was the story of I do not remember the lady's name, but she was married to a son, and he died, and then she married one of his other brothers, and then he died. And so eventually she was supposed to actually marry, I think, the younger brother, but that didn't actually end up happening. I don't know if you know what story I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do know the story, but those are all descriptive. They're not prescriptive.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing in the Bible whatsoever that prescribes that a woman has to marry an older man. It doesn't really matter. I mean, my wife's 6 years younger than I am. But if it was vice versa, I don't think there'd be any problem.
Okay, okay. And I haven't found that example anywhere, but I want to, you know, make sure in whenever I am, you know, ready to get married or whenever I am asked, I want to make sure that it's definitely in the will of God. So
yeah, you want to be equally yoked. I mean, that's the big thing. It's not the age factor. That's an artificial barrier. The real issue is, are you equally yoked? Are your hearts yoked together in the service of the King?
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you got it. My pleasure. A lot of these kinds of questions answered in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.